National Criminal Court, the Rome Statute, by allowing settlement clubs to compete in league play, Infantino and Chafrin have aided and abetted Israel's apartheid regime, a crime against humanity under the Rome Statute. Groups that have filed this complaint claim. To learn more about the ICC filing, the GPM reached out to Rebecca O'Keefe, a spokesperson for one of the filing's sponsors, Irish Sport for Palestine. Hello, Rebecca O'Keefe. Welcome to the Green Planet Monitor.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell me about Irish Sport for Palestine? Introduce yourself and tell me about this organization.
Yeah, so my name is Rebecca O'Keefe. I'm from Ireland. We are part of a collective called Irish Sport for Palestine, and it formed in early 2024 in response to the outbreak of the genocide. And it's a group of sports people coming together to take a stand, to show solidarity to Palestine, to advocate for suspension of Israeli sports teams, to demand accountability, to demand sanctions on them as well, but essentially asking these governing sporting bodies to enforce their own rules. So based on a couple of precedents, namely Russia and Belarus, where they swiftly took action in that case. So yeah, we have grown significantly. We have a lot of public support. We also host a lot of, you know, solidarity events across a range of sports, across a range of demographics as well. And essentially, it's just trying to keep up pressure, trying to look for different entry points. We have different campaigns going. I don't know if your listeners would have heard about the Rename Herzog Park campaign. There's a park in Dublin called Herzog Park, and we were part of a campaign to rename it.
Herzog so we would host, Park.
Yeah, from Chaim Herzog, because he was born in Belfast, but grew up in Dublin before then going to participate in the Haganah paramilitary group. So we would host community football games there. We had public petitions, local city council motions to try get that changed via public consultation.
And Chaim Herzog was, if I'm correct, the father of the current president of Israel, Isaac Herzog.
Exactly. Isaac Herzog, who has been pictured signing bombs that were sent into Gaza. So we just felt it's not a legacy to be honoured. And we think we need to call this out. And I think there's other names that could be proposed that would be far more representative and inclusive of history and of communities. So that's one of the things we're doing. We also have a lot of solidarity cycles, solidarity runs every week. Different groups have been popping up. We've got transnational links as well. We're working with global groups. We've also been helping with the Irish FAI. So that's the governing soccer body, the football body. We helped Bohemian Football Club and Fair Square with a motion to the FAI to bring forward a case to suspend Israel from UEFA. So that passed thanks to grassroots groups here and the democratic process of being members of the Federation. So that was to be brought before UEFA. So now the news is just the last 2 weeks that Ireland will be playing Israel in the Nations League. So there's a lot of speculation about whether games will be fulfilled, if FAI will follow through on this motion that members got passed.
And where are they playing?
The venues have to be confirmed, but it had been intimated that they would host them in Ireland and in Israel. So, of course, a lot of public outcry. We don't think, firstly, Israel should be in competition. We think they should be removed, bottom line. And failing that, a governing body, FAI, boycott. So there's a lot happening in that space right now. And, you know, coming up to the World Cup this year, there's a lot of agitation around boycotts and just that people are so fed up with the genocide in Gaza continuing, but also that these calls for suspension of Israel are also based on statute breaches of FIFA and UEFA. It's going back decades that these illegal settlements, clubs are still permitted to play in these competitions. So it's not, of course, the genocide has brought a lot of attention to it, but the statute breaches have been happening before this, so for many years.
Okay, so let's jump into this. Yeah. On February 18th, the 18th of February, Irish Sport for Palestine and a group of other organizations, including Just Peace Advocates in Canada and Palestine, filed complaints to the International Criminal Court accusing the presidents of FIFA and the Union of European Football Associations, UEFA, they are Gianni Infantino and Alexander Čeferin, accusing them of aiding in war crimes and crimes against humanity, aiding and abetting war crimes, specifically the transfer of civilian population into occupied territories, and crimes against humanity, specifically apartheid, under the Rome Statute. So this was this complaint was formally filed with the ICC Office of the Prosecutor on the 16th of February. Can you talk about this filing? And we'll get into the details of it. There's lots of details to talk about, but summarize this filing for me.
Yeah, so it's a historic filing because it's the first time sports leaders are being accused of these crimes before the ICC. The complaint, so you can't have corporations. It has to be the leaders of the corporations who are responsible for the policies. So that's why it's Infantino and Čeferin. And the complaint centres on FIFA and UEFA's inclusion of Israeli football clubs that are based in illegal settlements in occupied Palestinian territory. So they were built on land stolen from Palestinian people. And essentially FIFA and UEFA, they allow these clubs to play in leagues organised by the Israeli Football Association and host matches on seized land. They provide financial and structural support to these clubs. So they're continuing to operate, they're continuing to grow. They're not only breaching UEFA and FIFA statutes, but they're violating international law. And this has been said by a UN resolution in 2016, where they said illegal settlements were a flagrant violation of international law. Then you also have in 2024, the International Court of Justice advised that Israel's presence in the occupied territories, including the settlements, are unlawful under international law. And they actually ordered them to be dismantled and evacuated.
And these settlements, they violate, they breach Article 49.6 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. It is illegal under the Fourth Geneva Convention to transfer for an occupying power to transfer its population into occupied territory. Of course, Israel's been doing this since 1967. There's now something like 750,000 settlers living in the West Bank in, I don't know, something approaching 300 or 400 settlements. And a lot of these settlements are football clubs.
Yeah, so not only are they normalizing and legitimizing life in settlements, but as you say, they're contributing to the transfer of civilian population into these territories. Because if there were no clubs there, or there was no life there, there's no normalization of life there, there'd be no people settling there. So yeah, that's that apartheid bit, because these clubs implement the system of racial discrimination under Israeli military law. Access is restricted and Palestinians are prohibited from accessing matches, for playing for clubs, for participating, even when the games are played on their land. And by UEFA and FIFA, you know, providing settlements with football and competitive leagues and inclusion and integrating them into the entire structure and system, they're, FIFA and UEFA are complicit in supporting and legitimizing this apartheid regime. And you know, because these illegal settlement clubs are built on Palestinian land, FIFA and UEFA are normalizing occupation through football, through the sports washing.
And I mean, back in the times of apartheid South Africa was banned from international football play, if I'm not mistaken. They were banned from the Olympics and they were banned from international football competition.
Yeah, the sporting boycott of South Africa, the apartheid South Africa, has been often referred to as, you know, a decisive factor in ending and dismantling apartheid in South Africa. And I think the sporting boycott is so powerful, the impact of it could be so powerful. And I do think that these governing bodies are aware of the impact of that. And that's why we see that they hide behind so-called political neutrality. They refuse to take action and sanction Israel. They refuse to remove them and suspend them because they know how powerful this boycott or this suspension could be.
How many of these settlement clubs are there? How many settlement clubs are there operating out of illegal Jewish settlements in the West Bank? And are they all competing? Are they all compete within Israel's Football Federation? Some of them end up competing internationally. How many of them are there?
So I don't know the full figure, the exact figure. There are a number of them. They will be detailed in human rights reports, and they'll be named in those reports. I don't know the exact figure, but they are growing, and they do compete in Israeli football leagues. And as you say, that inclusion through UEFA allows them to compete in Europe and allows them to compete on these stages. Also, their players can then go play in Europe for other teams. So yeah, these clubs, and they also have basketball is also part of that structure as well as basketball clubs, because similarly, FIBA, that governing body, has statutes prohibiting, basically it's like territorial jurisdiction. And so essentially a member association cannot play in another member's territory without approval. And obviously that approval has not been given because it's stolen land.
These are the statutes of FIFA and the European Football Federation itself. Article 64.2 of the FIFA statutes and Article 65. Yeah. Prohibiting member associations and their clubs from playing on the territory of another member association.
And what's interesting as well is, so not only has, so by Israel being in UEFA, UEFA has effectively extended their territory into what should be Palestine under the Asian Federation. Then you also have Israel operating on stolen land in a territory that has not been given permission. So it's completely against statutes, completely against international law. And yeah, we, the point being that Infantino Shefferin, enacting these policies through FIFA and UEFA, they've acted in knowledge of this.
So what they're actually doing by allowing settlement clubs to participate in international competition as representatives of Israel's Football Federation, they are extending acknowledgement to Israel that these settlements really are part of Israel.
Yeah, and interestingly, the Palestine Football Association has for the last 15 years been trying to regain control over their territory jurisdiction, but they've been ignored or stymied, or any proposal has been kicked down the road and ignored. So again, Palestine Football Association has been trying to bring this forward. They've been ignored. You also have many human rights reports saying the same thing. So they know what's happening. They're legitimizing it. They're normalizing it through football.
Now, I mean, it bears emphasizing here that international law prohibits extending aid and assistance and encouragement and recognizing the validity of occupation, that FIFA and UEFA, the European Football Federations, are obliged under various UN Security Council resolutions and the International Court of Justice, they are obliged not to extend this sort of recognition to these football clubs. And it's interesting that article, the International Court of Justice's July 24 ruling under the category of legal consequences for the United Nations, International Court of Justice said the duty of non-recognition specified above also applies to international organizations, including the United Nations, of course. As noted above, the General Assembly has already called in some of its resolutions on international organizations and specialized agencies not to recognize or cooperate with or assist in any manner any measures undertaken by Israel to exploit the resources of occupied territories. So FIFA and the European Football Federation are subject to the International Court of Justice's ruling.
And we hope by taking this step, we say that their policies regarding these illegal settlements may carry severe legal consequences, and also sends a warning to other governing bodies. But you're right. So like, these settlements exist because businesses and corporations are in settlements, same with sport and culture. And the presence of them normalizes and legitimizes life in settlements, but also engaging in business activity supports the settlements. So you're actually propping up the system that's existing through grave human rights violations. And as I said before, without this normalization, there'd be no settlers moving in.
What sorts of support, financial and technical support, do FIFA and the European Federation provide to Jewish settlement football clubs? I mean, aside from allowing them to play in international competition as Israeli clubs, what financial support do they provide them?
Yeah, so settlement clubs being part of this global football structure means they're eligible for financing and inclusion. They can play in these competitions. And then in terms of financial support, so FIFA gives money to Israeli Football Association and then that's distributed. And then equally, these settlement clubs provide revenue for Israeli Football Association and FIFA through tickets and broadcasting rights. So it does earn revenue.
And FIFA and the European Federation are immensely wealthy. And I gather their presidents, like Gianni Infantino and Alexander Čeferin, they both earn something on the order of $4 million a year, their annual salaries. They're both wealthy men, and they're both friends of Israel and the U.S. administration. I mean, Gianni Infantino is a bud of Donald Trump. FIFA has offices now in the Trump Tower. And of course, Gianni Infantino very famously granted FIFA's peace prize to Donald Trump recently. So they are, right, intimately associated. They're colleagues, aren't they?
I mean, I don't know if anyone could miss the fact that Infantino was sat there wearing his red USA hat at Trump's so-called Board of Peace, announcing plans. I mean, the relationship they have, I mean, it shows political interference. We only need to look at that to see that. But then also, again, FIFA, UEFA have these statutes of political neutrality. So that's not political neutrality to me. And yet then you have the IOC clearing him, the International Olympic Committee, clearing him of any wrongdoing. So then you kind of see how deep the network of collaboration, political interference, and sports washing really is. And like when it comes to the lack of sanctions against Israel, I think the main explanation is politics and political interference, because it's quite clear that both US and Israeli governments are closely involved. But if rules were applied equally, Israel would have been sanctioned a long time ago. But yeah, your point about these hugely lucrative corporations and businesses, industries that they are, and I mean, because football is, we have to understand that these organizations are cultural juggernauts, like they're massive. We're dealing with something entirely different here because of, I mean, you've got commercial domination, you've got these are global regulatory monopolies, because essentially the way they work is really more akin to how a country's law will work on its own population with their regulations. And they're also presiding over, I mean, millions and millions of dollars. So sometimes eclipsing the GDP of countries. I mean, this is how big we're talking. So when we really are talking about something completely different in this industry, and this case and holding them to account, because they're shielding themselves from accountability. There's no internal mechanisms that they're applying to take accountability. So this is our way of holding them to account, hoping international law will be implied or enforced.
You write here in your press release, the Union of European Football Federations and FIFA, their main sponsors are deeply embedded in the Israeli arms industry. So the profits of the Israeli arms industry, and I would imagine the American arms industry, flow into FIFA and the European Federation.
Yeah, I mean, one only has to follow the money to kind of see these trails. The tentacles of these organizations extend far and beyond. And I think when we consider that they have links to arms industries, it can't be separated from what's happening, not only for the decades of apartheid and systematic targeting, but also now the genocide and the systematic targeting of sporting life. So players, coaches, facilities, spectators, I mean, for decades have been systematically targeted. And this has been well documented by human rights organizations, UN experts, Palestinians, most importantly. But routinely subjected to attacks, being killed, maimed, arbitrarily detained, movement is restricted, land and facilities being seized, I mean, racial abuse. And there has been well documented incidents, as I said. So, I mean, in 2014, there was two teenagers, Jawar and Adam, and they were shot in the feet deliberately, and they will never play again. They played football. There was the arbitrary detention of Mahmoud Al-Sarsak in 2009, and he was detained for 3 years. Then there's the targeting of infrastructure. I think it was 2012, Yarmouk Stadium in Gaza was bombed. There's routine racism of the Israeli fans shouting death to Arabs, and there's been videos of this. And then, of course, since 2023, genocide, the continued damage of stadiums, the killing, the maiming, the in like it's actually scholars have termed it athleticide. So this is kind of the
A
scale
what
we're dealing
side?
with. And athleticide.
Athleticide. Yeah, you're right here. Israel's targeting of sporting life has been going on for decades. Since October 2023, more than 400 Palestinian footballers in Gaza and the West Bank have been killed, including over 100 children from the Palestinian football academies. All facilities in Gaza and 11 in the West Bank have been destroyed or damaged. And you talk about Al Yarmouk football stadium turned into a makeshift detention center where young boys of about 12 years of age and elderly Palestinians were stripped and blindfolded, and the Palestinian football pitches dug up. So not only are the is Israel receiving support from the international football federations, it is at the same time oppressing Palestinian footballers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen this. And it's also not only have FIFA and UEFA known about this, but it almost feels like they're acting with intent by not removing Israel or not sanctioning them because they've known about all of this. FIFA's ignored their own internal monitoring committee in, the year escapes me now, but they had an internal monitoring committee, maybe it was 2016, who had recommended to that the illegal settlement clubs should be suspended, and it was ignored. So even their own internal committee has been told them, and they
And
still haven't.
numerous human rights organizations and the Palestinian Football Association have complained to FIFA and the European Football Association, to Gianni Infantino and Alexander Čeferin, and they've done nothing.
No.
I mean, is this
And then,
documented?
yes, so Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, various UN branches, and then FIFA will also have a record of that internal committee. So this has all been documented. The Palestine Football Association submitting their motions, it will be there. So yeah, and a lot of this will make up the filing that we have submitted too. But no, that they have acted in full knowledge of all of this. And then at the same time, we can see them hide behind political neutrality, but also saying sports as a unifying force and trying to promote the goodness of sport, which it absolutely can be. But when you have this as the backdrop, you are not giving Palestinians any kind of level playing field. You're actually effectively you're discriminating against them by allowing this. And Palestinians have been subjected to this for so long. And then you do see how sport can be used then in Palestine for resistance and for joy and for play and for communities. You even saw in Aida camp, the Israeli military issued an order to destroy the camp, but the
Aida
community
Camp
came to.
is a refugee camp in Bethlehem.
Yes. And they had a soccer pitch there that was, they were told was going to be demolished. So they had a whole international campaign to kind of to stop this, and people got behind them because what do you mean they're in a refugee camp and you're destroying a pitch? Like, it's insane. And then Ceferin and Patino know that this is happening. It just beggars belief, I honestly. And then just the scale of destruction, the scale of the injuries as well, the scale of, I mean, death, everyone's ignoring it.
Now, are these, this is an obvious question, but are these admissible charges? Like, I realize, of course, that heads of state and military leaders can be charged with crimes, war crimes, crimes against humanity under the Rome Statute, and complaints can be filed and prosecutions can be pursued at the International Criminal Court. But can one try the presidents of organizations, like ostensibly independent private organizations like FIFA?
Yeah, so we can file against the individuals because they're presiding over the policies. They're responsible for the policies of the organization. And we had an expert legal team. We've had many advocacy groups. We've had 120 pages is the filing, full of evidence reports. And the legal experts on it deemed it had merit to go forward. And then what's going to happen next is the Office of the Prosecutor is going to review the submission. It has to meet certain criteria, so it's admissibility, jurisdiction, and justice, so like the severity of the crimes. So we believe that that's all been met, so it's up to the Office of the Prosecutor now to decide this. So they'll conduct a preliminary review, and then essentially they will decide if they will open the case for investigation, and then it will proceed, or they might not. So that's where we're at now.
Rebecca, before we close, can you quickly tell me what are the other groups and organizations, aside from Irish Support for Palestine, who are the other organizations internationally who are part of your submission to the International Criminal Court, and perhaps individuals?
Yeah, so we had a transnational coalition. There was an expert legal team who did amazing work on this. There was ourselves, there was Scottish Support for Palestine, there was Just Peace Advocates in Canada, there were the Sports Scholars for Justice in Palestine. We also had Euromed, Human Rights Monitor. We also had Palestinian clubs and players. We also had some landowners. There was then Human Rights Group in Palestine. So we had a number of different parties come together on this. And as I said, there was a 120-page submission, and we believe there is merit in this. We believe the case should be opened. We believe that the actions of Infantino and Ceferin should be carrying grave consequences. They can't act with impunity. They can't shield themselves from accountability, and we hope it leads to sanctions against Israel, and we hope it goes a step towards, you know, the freedom and liberation of Palestinians.
Rebecca O'Keefe, thank you so much for joining me on the Green Planet Monitor, and we'll link to Irish Support for Palestine and to this campaign to get Israeli settlement clubs banned from international football competition. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Rebecca O'Keefe is a former Irish basketball player and a member of the group Irish Support for Palestine. Listen to our complete conversation and read more about the group's submission to the ICC at greenplanetmonitor.net. That's it for today's GPM, a joint production of Earth Chronicle Productions and 93.3 CFM UFM, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Listen to, read, and watch more Earth stories at greenplanetmonitor.net and cfmu.ca. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Blueberry, and TikTok, and on Canada's Harbinger Media Network. I'm David Kattenberg, over and out for now.
listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.